So, the Bible tells us about a man with an evil spirit who lived in the cemetery among the tombstones. He lived among the burial caves. He couldn't even be chained and restrained because he would break the chains, smash the shackles from his wrist and his maybe ankles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered about the burial caves and the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus saw him, the man ran to meet him, and he said, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you in the name of God, don't torture me." Like he wasn't already being tortured. Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." It wasn't the man speaking, obviously. Then Jesus asked them, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion, because we're many." And so they said, "Please don't just send us away and send us to some distant place. How about sending us in that herd of pigs over there?" I don't know why they asked that, but anyway. Jesus did that, okay. So he sent them into the pigs, and I guess the pigs did what any pig would do if an evil spirit entered him. They rushed down the cliff, down the steep hillside, over the cliff, and drowned in the water at the bottom of the cliff. And it says, the herdsman that took care of the pigs saw this guy, and they saw him sitting there. The people all came out. They saw him sitting there fully clothed, totally sane, and like, what has happened? And then those who had seen what happened told the others, Jesus cast these demons into the pigs, and they ran over the cliff and drowned. So the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. I guess they were scared of that much power. So Jesus told the man, "Go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So originally, at first, the man wanted to stay with Jesus and follow him, naturally. I mean, he saved his life, restored his life. But he did what Jesus asked. So the man started off to visit the towns of that area and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. And the reason I was struck by this story recently when I was reading it was because of the man's reaction. He began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. I was thinking, wow, to be in that first state and then to end up in a totally normal state, how would you feel? How would I feel? I've never been that low and that enslaved, I don't think. At least I didn't know it if I was. And I was thinking about how he had such an appreciation. Sometimes it may be difficult for us to appreciate freedom if we've never really realized the powers that have or have had dominion over us, dominance over us. I remember there was a lady who was a friend of ours once, a very bright, talented lady, and she was married to a fine Christian man. And I never really thought about the relationship. They seemed happy and everything. But she confided, after her husband died, that she felt free. It was kind of a surprising admission on her part. And then when we started thinking in retrospect, her husband had been kind of domineering, you know. He would speak for her. I guess he would cut her off if she started to answer a question and answer for her. And maybe squash any ideas that she had that he thought, what, you know. But she was very creative. But she felt free and realized how suppressed she had been when she was out from under his thumb. And we won't even go there. That's another whole story. But sometimes the things that weigh us down and keep us from experiencing true freedom, we may not even be aware of. It's like we think we're free, but we're not really. And typically, it's our own sins that weigh us down. The passions that enslave us that we don't even realize. Only Jesus can give us freedom and forgiveness from those chains and release us from their power. So I'd like you to just think just for a minute, what do you think might be holding you, chaining you, keeping you from complete freedom in Christ? We say with our mouths, we have freedom in Christ, but do we really feel that freedom? If not, why not? This meal reminds us of the freedom that we enjoy because of Christ. He wants us to feel that freedom. He doesn't want us to go around shackled anymore by anything, especially not sin. So as we eat this meal together, let's really, truly appreciate that freedom that we have through him.